At that, we're continuing our series on hacking Agag to pieces, and this is about dealing with remaining sin in our mortal bodies. There is sin remaining, although we've been redeemed, and we're in the process of being sanctified on our way to glorification. There is still flesh, unredeemed.
Yes, it is.
And there is still sin in that flesh. Amen. Apostle Paul did speak it in Romans 6 and about verse 17. He says, in me, that is in my flesh, verse 18, there dwelleth no good thing. Nothing good in there. Amen. Romans 8, 17 says, no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Sin lives in us, and that is in our flesh. So we got to deal with that sin. That's what this series is about. So we're talking about some practical things that we can do. We're talking about the fact that we're to pursue Christ's likeness. Remember, we talked about steps to be killing sin, right? One is abstain from fleshly lusts. Two, don't provide the flesh anything to feed on. Three, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're talking about that in review. We talked about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ means putting on Christ's likeness. It means to pursue Christ's likeness. It means that we're to pursue with strenuous zeal and effort. We said it last week, to put on Christ means to pursue, chase, hound, work at, follow after Christ's likeness with extreme effort and strenuous zeal until our moral nature is what? More like his. Until our character is what? More like his character. Until our temperament is more like his temperament. And until our habits, our daily way of living, conform more and more toward his. In Jesus' name. We talked about Apostle Paul had this in mind. Let's go back there by way of review. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Apostle Paul said he had one thing in mind. One thing to do. One single focus. That is to pursue Christ's likeness. I love how one preacher said, isn't it great that you can whittle down the whole walk with one thing? To pursue Christ's likeness. To be conformed to his image. Philippians 3:12, not that I have already obtained it, right, Christ's likeness, or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. And that is the reason or the purpose for which he was laid hold of by Christ Jesus, meaning when he was saved, when we were saved. Christ Jesus laid hold on us. The reason for that was, ultimately, we saw it in Romans 8:29, to be conformed to the image of his son.
Amen.
Verse 13, brothers, I do not regard or count or reckon myself as having laid hold of it yet. It's not there yet. But one thing, my single solitary focus and purpose, my only aim is to forget what lies behind, all of the past worldly and spiritual accolades and accomplishments, leave all that behind, and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on. As one commentator puts it, press on means to run or follow after. It speaks of an aggressive, energetic endeavor. Do you see that? Paul pursued the spiritual prize with all his might, straining every spiritual muscle as he ran to win. That's us, Father God. Help that to be us. He said, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call or the heavenly call or the call from above in Christ Jesus. That summarizes our walk or our effort toward the prize, the goal and the prize. By the way, the goal is the prize and the prize is the goal. Christ-likeness. Then we ask the question, what are some practical things that we could do to pursue Christ-likeness? But before we did that, we defined Christ-likeness. What is Christ-likeness? It's the process by which believers progressively begin to manifest the qualities, the characteristics, the behaviors, the character of Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. It's the process by which believers progressively. So notice, it happens over time, little by little, step by step. The process by which believers progressively begin to begin. Look at all that. Process by which believers progressively begin. There's a starting point. To manifest the qualities, the characteristics, the behavior, the character of Jesus Christ. This process is called what?
Sanctification.
Sanctification. And it is achieved through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, it is.
So look at Colossians chapter 3. It's reviewing still. These are things we can do to be more like Christ. Things we can do to be more like Christ. Verse 9, Colossians 3, 9. First thing, stop lying. Do not lie to one another.
Amen.
Since you laid aside the old self, meaning who we were before we were saved, with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who we are now in Christ Jesus after regeneration, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. I love that we're constantly being reminded that our new self is constantly, consistently, and continuously being renewed.
Amen.
We're going to be renewed until we get to the point that we're just going to be glorified. And nobody reacted to that, but that's okay. I hope you heard that. What we're saying is that us, the real us, the renewed, regenerated, recreated species of being that never before existed, we are already ready to be glorified. But we have what on us? What's surrounding us? Our body and our flesh. But the real us, and we're going to teach on that maybe next, maybe, to talk about the new man, the new self, the recreated us, the real us, and just how powerful we are in Christ Jesus. So the new man is being renewed according to a true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him. Verse 11, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all. Remember that? I think that's where we stopped last time. We quoted with that one, Galatians 3:28, that neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That's the sister verse to that, Galatians 3:28. All right, let's go back to Colossians. Are we still there? Okay, verse 12. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. So, what's the first thing we're going to do? Verse 9, stop lying. Verse 12, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. 13, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Well, whoever has a complaint against you, just as the Lord also forgave us. 14, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. So if you stop lying, put on a heart of compassion, humility, kindness, gentleness, patience, bear with one another, forgive one another, put on love, And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, which to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Are you not positioned to pursue vigorously Christ-likeness? Are you not, have you not positioned yourself to be conformed to the image of his Son? Amen. I want to go back to a note here. Remember we said that, if I can find, yes, the more constant, consistent, and continuously, the more constant, consistent, and continuously that we perform righteous, holy, just, and honorable acts. Remember, the more we do that, we are putting on the Lord Jesus Christ more fully. So if we are, if we practice not lying consistently, we practice putting on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, we continually are bearing with one another and forgiving one another, and if we're continually putting on love and allowing the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts, we're becoming more and more like Christ more fully. Can you see that?
Yes.
Now, and as we wrap up this part here, this is step number three. We are to pursue like Christ is. Until what? Very good question. Until what? Well, let's look at that answer. Now we're pursuing like Christ is. How long are we to pursue Christ likeness? What's the goal of Christ likeness? Obviously to be like Christ, but yes, we are to pursue Christ likeness until, look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. We are to pursue Christ likeness until Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until what? Christ be formed in you. That's the goal of Christ likeness, for Christ Jesus to be formed in us. Look at Romans chapter 8. Verse 29, Romans chapter 8, verse 29. We are to pursue Christ's likeness until Christ is formed in us. And we kind of went over what that means, until his character becomes our character, until his temperament becomes our temperament, until his habits become our habits, and so forth. In other words, until our lifestyle looks like his lifestyle when he was here on earth. Verse 29 of Romans 8. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Does that sound a lot like until Christ be formed in you? We were predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We are to pursue Christ's likeness until Christ is formed in us, until we are conformed to the image of his Son. 2 Corinthians, did I say that? Chapter 3, verse 18. Is this making any sense to anyone?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jesus. Love to hear that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. But look at the progress. From one degree of glory to another degree of glory to another degree of glory to another degree of glory. That's the Fred Hammond song. Glory to glory to glory to glory. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. As the process, now listen to this. This comes from the Lord. Now it's something you say, well, of course it comes from the Lord. Well, just understand it certainly doesn't come from us. And it certainly doesn't come from any effort or work
that we do.
Come on, preacher. So he's just making sure that you give yourself no credit. This comes from the Lord. Here's a note from a commentator. As the process of sanctification progresses, right? Glory to glory to glory. The Lord's character becomes more and more our character. Does that make sense? It's a process. Are we progressing in the process? So that depends on us. Remember, we've already said you can grow as fast as you want to. It depends on how much effort you're willing to put in. If you exert strenuous zeal and effort, you're going to grow. And you're going to become more and more like Christ. If you put in a poor effort, you're still saved, but you're going to manifest your fleshly ways more and more rather than Christ. It's up to us. Because he's done, he's equipped us. He's teaching us, gave us the power of the Holy Ghost, regenerated us, made it possible, shed his blood, tore the veil. We can go to the throne room anytime. Counsel of the Holy Ghost living inside of us. I mean, we got it all. We got it all. Are we disciplined enough to do it? Do we not? Hey, here's a question. Do we have right now as a present possession the discipline to walk in Christ Jesus? To be more conformed? Yes or no?
Yes. Yeah.
He's given up all things that pertain to life and godliness. When we don't walk in it, it's on us. Symbolically speaking, he's up there saying, I ain't got nothing else. I gave him my son. That's the greatest thing I can give. We have to take advantage of it. Put forth greater effort. And it does take effort. Strenuous zeal and effort.
Yes.
And by the way, that's not only in walking out Christ-likeness, but that's like that in life, period. Just being disciplined. In any area. I'm not saying that's easy. I want to encourage you to know that you have it. Now let's walk in it.
Yeah.
Thank God you don't have to go and say, well, I wish I had it. You know, you hear people say all the time, I'm just not disciplined like so-and-so. Yeah, but it's not, if it's a Christian saying that, it's not because you don't have the discipline. You're just not using what you've already been given.
Right. Amen.
Let that sink in. I used to always say, I'm not disciplined. Like my little brother.
Ouch.
Yeah. Paul was. Should always say that. Until I grew in Christ Jesus. I've learned to walk in discipline. I'm still learning. But way. That was just an excuse. I didn't know it. At the time. You know, I'm in my 20s saying that. Once I got bowed down for real. Recognize, oh, okay, no, it's there. Because what he was doing was teaching me what to do and then to walk in what he would tell me to do. And I'm no greater or better or worse than anybody else in here. When you recognize what you already have and then you decide to walk in it, you're going to see results spiritually and naturally. Be encouraged, saints. Me encourage. Let's get back to steps to be killing sin. We're on the fourth and final step. One, abstain from fleshly lusts. Two, don't provide the flesh anything to feed on. Three, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And number four, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Just think, if you are walking away from fleshly lusts, running away from it, abstaining from it, you are not providing the flesh anything to feed on. Making no provisions. You're starving the flesh. Three, you're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Becoming more and more like him. And you're watching and praying. You will be murdering sin regularly. Does that make sense? You will be. You will be killing sin regularly. Remember, there's no having killed sin. No, you got to keep killing sin because you got flesh that still want to sin. So this is a killing that keeps happening. You got to be a mass murderer, if you will. Because you're killing today and you're killing today and the next sin and the next one you until the day you die. Yes, sir. But you keep these steps going, you're going to be on the war path at all times. It's when we lose discipline. It's when we become lax. Maybe get a few victories and we kind of like chill that we get in trouble. That if we stay abstaining from flesh and lust, we keep not providing the flesh anything to feed on, if we keep putting on the Lord Jesus Christ as the way of life and we're watching and praying at all times, you're going to be more and more conformed to Christ, to the image of Christ Jesus. Let's watch and pray. Look at Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 41. Jesus in the garden. A few hours before he's arrested. Matthew 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He told them to watch and pray. They were under tremendous temptation. Jesus is hours from arrest and being crucified. He tells them to watch and pray. Look at the reason that you enter not into temptation. Wow. You can almost see why that's number four right there. That you don't enter into temptation. And we're going to get more on what that means. Watch is in the present active imperative. You hear me say that over and over again. Present means what? Always going up. Ongoing. Active, you're doing it. As opposed to passive. Passive means something that's happening to you. Active, you're doing the action. Imperative,
command.
Gives a command. So this is a command that you are to watch and keep on watching. Watching at all times. Pray, same thing. Present, imperative. You are to pray and keep on praying. Well, that would make sense. Why? Because the enemy is always on the prowl, right? Seeking whom he may devour. So we need to keep watching and keep praying. Now, I don't know if that's... Are we doing that? Or are we praying sometimes, watching sometimes? Are we praying every other day, watching every other day? Yeah. No, this should be something that's constant, consistent, and continual. Now, we're not talking about praying. We'll get into that, what that means. We'll get into that in a moment. The definition for watch, it means to remain awake because of the need to continue to be alert. It means to remain awake because of the need to continue to be alert. You can't be alert if you're sleepy. You can't be asleep. You can't be alert if you're sleepy. So we must remain awake, spiritually speaking. Spiritually speaking, you're on point. You're in your word, meditating the word, obeying the word. You're doing the big three, Joshua 1 and 8. The book of the law shall not depart of your mouth. So you're speaking the word. But thou shalt meditate on the day and night. You're thinking the word. And observe to do according to all that's in the law. You're doing the word. You do those three, you're going to remain awake spiritually. Is this making sense to anybody in the room? If you do those three things, you are speaking the word whenever it's possible. You are meditating the word and you're obeying the word. You are going to remain awake spiritually. And alert. So it means remain awake because of the need to continue to be alert. It means to give strict attention to be cautious, to be careful, to be spiritually alert. Watch again means to remain awake because of the need to continue to be alert. to give strict attention to be cautious of, to be careful, to be spiritually alert. That's what watch means. If your mind, excuse the old saying, is stayed on Jesus, or biblically speaking, if it is looking unto Jesus constantly, Hebrews 12:3, or Colossians 3, if it's fixed on things above, then you will be in an area of being watchful. You're setting yourself up to be watchful, to be cautious, to be spiritually alert. Prayer is to be constant, consistent, and continuously communicating with God. Then I got redundant, at all times. Well, if you're doing it constantly, continuously, you're doing that at all times. But I even just added that for emphasis. It means to be in a constant, consistent, and continual communication with God at all times. This can be done one of three ways. One, us communicating with God. Like we're actively talking to God in the moment. Two, God communicating with us. God is actively speaking to us in the moment through the Holy Spirit. Or three, is to be in an ever ready position to hear from God or to talk to God at a moment's notice. Three things so that you can always be in a state of prayer. It's not always talking. It's us talking to God, God talking with us, or us being ready to talk to God or hear from God in a moment's notice. So it's not just praying. Us look at prayer kind of one way, us talking to God. But prayer is communication. So it's God talking with us too. Does that make sense, saints of God? Yeah. And then may not be nothing going on, but you're just ready to hear from him or talk to him. Something happens. You already talking because you have developed the habit of taking it to the Lord in prayer. You developed the habit of having a little talk with Jesus and telling him all about your trouble. That's prayer. That's how you stay in a state of prayer. And that's why you'll pray almost without thinking, which is impossible to do that. Before I know it, I did this. It's impossible, but I understand what they're trying to say. Because you just live in a lifestyle of prayer. You have a lifestyle of prayer. Remember, I was counseling a young man who was trying to teach him to get God out the box, you know. We want to stick him in this box, you know, where we say our morning prayer and our morning devotion, and we have our noonday and our night prayer. We kind of stick him in there. I said, no, blow that box up and let him live all through, like all day, every day, anytime, anywhere, at all times. You can have morning devotion, cool. Make sure there's a mid-noon something going on too, because the Lord is always with you, right? He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Wow, take advantage of that. Look who lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit. Wow, all he does is comfort and guide and teach and coach, advise, show you things to come, show you the way to go. I mean, wow. We need to be in a constant state of prayer. We need to. So that's watching and praying. Look at Luke 21, verse 31. Oh, there's one more after this. I forgot about that. Luke 21, verse 31. There's another step after this, I'm sorry. But we'll get to that next time. Chapter 21, verse 31. So you also, When you see that things happening, this is during the end time, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. When you see these things happening, rather, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Look at verse 34. Be on your guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation, which is wasteful and corrupt living, and drunkenness, and the worries of life. And that day, the day when Christ returns, will not come on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all the earth. But keep on the alert at all times. Look at that. Praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Look what he's saying. In the end time, he's still telling them to watch and pray. We certainly need to do it now. If we do it then, we need to be on the alert. Keep on the alert and praying at all times. And he told, like the disciples told him, Jesus told the disciples, so that you don't enter into temptation and it overwhelms you and it takes you over. So let's go over that. Look at Luke 24, 22 rather. The next chapter over, Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 40. And when Jesus was at the place, he said unto them, pray. He's in the garden about to pray. Pray that you enter not into temptation. You see that?
Yeah.
Pray. That's again. Keep on continually praying that you enter not into temptation. What that means is, see, that sounds like that you'll never be tempted. I said, Lord, that don't sound right, because we're going to be tempted because of Satan. So it doesn't mean that we don't enter, that we are not tempted. As one commentator interprets this, that the temptation will not overwhelm you and cause you to sin. Makes sense, right? Pray that the temptation does not overwhelm you and cause you to sin. Another translation says, pray that you will not enter the place where testing will be so severe that it will lead you to solicitation to do evil, under which you will fail. So pray that when it does happen, that you will be able to stand, and having done all to stand, what? Stand there for. Now this sounds a lot like 1 Corinthians 10, 13. God is faithful, who not allow you to be tempted, tested, tried, beyond your ability to endure. But we're with that temptation to make way to escape, and to make be able to bear it. So if God allows a temptation to be brought to you, whether it's Satan, whatever it is, God allows it. When he allows it, know that you don't have to fail. And what he's saying is, when that is brought to your doorstep, when God allows Satan to bring temptation to your doorstep, God allowed it, then that means you can pass the test. Well, how do you do that? Stay on guard, stay on alert, watch, and pray, so that when the temptation comes, you're not overwhelmed, because you're on guard, you see it coming, and you're communicating with God constantly throughout the whole time. That's practical boots on the ground advice.
Yes.
You're just on the watch. You're on guard. Be sober, be vigilant, because your enemy, the devil, is on the prowl, seeking whom he may devour. Resist, standing firm in faith. Let's go. 1 Peter 5:8. We just said it. Let's get there. So does that make sense about entering into temptation?
Yes.
Pray that the temptation will not overwhelm you and cause you to sin. See, the Lord recognized who's allowing the temptation in the beginning? A perfect, just, faithful, cannot make a mistake, God. So it's like, oops, I shouldn't allow that because they're not going to make it. No. You understand that? Yeah, he doesn't do that. No oops. He's faithful. So when it comes, be on alert, see that what it is. That's part of being on the guard, being on alert at all times. You see it. You see it. And you're praying because you see it coming. Look at 1 Peter 5:8. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Why? Your adversary, your enemy, your opponent. Who is he? The devil, diabolos, prowls around like a roaring lion. Roaring, I think it was symbolic of a hungry lion. Seeking someone to devour, in the Greek means to gulp down whole. There's a real enemy out there. God knows that. 1 John 4:4, greater, stronger, mightier, wiser is he that is in us, he that is in the world. That's good news. So it's not about praying that the devil go off and leave me alone. No, that's not going to happen. When he does come, let me be on guard. Let me be alert. Let me be in conversation with my Heavenly Father, because I am speaking the word, I am meditating the word, and I am obeying the word. So I'm ready. And I'm sober. And I'm on the alert. Glory be to God. Then we're to pray. We're watching. We're praying. When we pray, look at Hebrews 4. Lets us know how to pray. We ought to pray with confidence. Well, since we are to watch and pray, then let's pray with confidence. Hebrews 4:16 tells us why. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come meekly and shaking in our boots unto the throne of grace. Yeah, boldly, confidently, before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So let's pray with confidence, right? Look at Psalm 34. Here's why we can pray with more confidence. Psalm 34, verse 15. Psalm 34, verse 15. Write this one down. Write it down. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Make sure that your character is free from love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6. So that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. That's why you can pray so confidently, because he is our helper. And he said, he invites us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Look at it, Psalm 34:15. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. That's why you can pray confidently too, because his ears are inclined and open and ready for you to cry out. And his eyes are watching over you. So pray. Pray with confidence. Secondly, we ought to pray persistently or perseveringly. Look at Luke chapter 18 as we get ready to close. Luke 18, verse 1. Luke 18 and 1. Now Jesus was telling the disciples a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart or slack off. That's what that means. The Greek expositors, New Testament, that's a great commentary. They have the comment on this. To pray at all times means to pray persistently. Listen to this. In spite of temptation to cease praying, which we are tempted when you're praying for your cousins, nephews, mom, dad, you know, just praying all these years. In spite of the temptation to cease praying through delayed answer. Well, that gets us through. Oh, it ain't going to happen. I'm going to stop praying. Fight that temptation. Keep praying. Notwithstanding delay. Notwithstanding means in spite of or despite delay. Keep praying. That's what he's saying here. That man at all times ought to pray and not lose heart. In spite of how long things are taking, how slow things may be looking, fight that temptation. Continue to pray persistently, perseveringly. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Because I know a lot of you all stories, you all are praying for sons and daughters and nephews and cousins and brothers and, am I right, mothers and, yeah. Been praying for years. Keep on praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Hey, let that be a word, y'all. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Keep praying. This is the Lord himself speaking to us today, right now. Keep praying. Pray persistently. Pray perseveringly. Despite delay. Keep on. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. 17. Pray without ceasing. I like how one commentator put it. Have the habit of prayer. Mm-hmm. It's a habit. You just pray because it's a habit, like you breathe. Amen. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Pray without ceasing. Pray perseveringly. Pray habitually. And I love the expositors to pray persistently in spite of temptation to cease praying through delayed answer. Keep praying in spite or despite delay. That's a word for us today. Amen. Amen. Keep praying in spite of delay. Father God, we will keep praying to you. We will keep communication with you. We will keep an open line of constant, consistent, and continuous communication with you. Whether we are actively speaking to you like right now, or whether we are hearing from you like we were through your word, or whether we are in an attitude to hear from you or speak to you at all times, we trust you. We rely on you. We depend on you. You are the God of the universe, and that God of the universe is our personal Heavenly Father. Wow. We delight in you, Father. Help us to be conformed to the image of our elder brother, thereby bringing you much glory. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.